Hello, this is Victoria with Hope Service Dogs, and today joining me is Sam Walker.
Hi.
With On Duty Service Dogs for Veterans.
Yeah.
Inc.
That's incorporated.
It is. Good job. And we are here. We're going to discuss something that's been rattling around in our brains for the last, who knows how long, forever. And it is the three C's.
So a lot of times people ask because when we tell them that we get started training these puppies so young, a lot of the question we get is, how do you even train a puppy that young? What are you training for? What do those training sessions look like? Well, when I say we do our first, what everyone would recognize as training sessions when these puppies is about 5 weeks old.
Yep.
Before they've even been temperament tested, any of that. Because Volhard temperament test happens 7 weeks. So we are doing these training sessions starting at 5 weeks old. And what we're teaching these puppies is not sit, down, come, play, stay. What we're teaching them is the skills they need to be good learners and to be healthy dogs as they develop. Not just physically healthy, but emotionally and intellectually sound as well.
A lot of times whenever people would bring their puppies to me at 8 weeks old on up, and sometimes it was younger than 8 weeks, but guys, do not take a dog from your breeder until the dog is at least 8 weeks old. They need that time with mama and siblings. So even if mama's ignoring them now, they still need that time with siblings to develop properly. But the dog would always know sit and shake. Those were the two things. The dog knows sit, the dog knows shake. And he might not know it well, but that's what they have been working on, and that is not the first things that we teach.
Mm-mm.
Because it is that how to learn, how to figure things out, how we're going to go about doing it.
So even the average owner who gets a puppy at 8 weeks old, as opposed to our 5 weeks when we start, should be starting with these skills, should be starting teaching their puppy these things. So for us, we are doing we do entirely reward-based training in the beginning, right? They're getting nothing but treats. And when I say treats, we feed a mixture of raw and kibble, but at 5 weeks, what they're going to get through these training sessions is going to be raw. We make up these little meatballs, and we chuck them to them after our marker.
Why do we do that?
Because they're little teefs. Little teefs can't crunch the kibbles, and they get so tired sitting there trying to crunch a kibble that you reward for one thing, and then it's 3 minutes before they even try another behavior because they've been sitting there trying to eat their last reward. And we don't want to give a ton of, soft treats or anything because we don't want...
We
don't want a belly blowout. No. Especially not times 8 or 10 or however big the litter is.
For sure.
So, we're using marker and reward. And what we're looking for to mark... Because what do you mark at 5 weeks? If they don't know sit, if they don't know down, if they don't know come, what is it that we're capturing? And that's where the three C's come in. The first one is collection. Does the dog look like he's standing well? Are all 4 feet under his body? How's his past turns? Get him, look at his feet and see, are they where they need to be under his body, supporting his weight evenly? Is he balanced? And when we catch those things, we mark and reward. Mark and reward, mark and reward. Because it all starts from the ground up, literally, with a dog structure. So if you watch the feet, watch what he looks like. An easy way to think of it is a pretty sit versus a sloppy sit, right? Everybody knows when a dog throws its hips underneath it, flops to one side, and sits kind of cockeyed, right? That's a sloppy sit. And then there's that nice, pretty show sit.
Yes, where they sit back on their haunches correctly. They're not sitting like a lady, like sitting side saddle.
Yes.
You know, their legs aren't splayed out here to there like a hooker.
Yep.
They're just sitting.
They look
nicely.
Beautiful and collected. And if you want to see some examples of nice, properly collected dogs, watch a dog show. See how those dogs move.
Yeah, AKC obedience is what you'd be looking for. For sits and downs and stuff, because during run around Westminster stuff, they don't. So just to let you guys know, but you can see the movement. You can see what goes into it if you watch Westminster, you know, or any of the dog shows. And how they sit, you know, how we do the training from the beginning, how they're sitting, if they're doing that sloppy sit, if that's what they're doing all the time, it could lead to structural issues.
Yeah, like sickle hock or being short in the pass turn, broken pass turns in the front, all sorts of just icky things. They can have hip problems.
Yeah, yeah, ligament issues, archy backs maybe.
Yeah, they call it, what is it?
If Ray was here, he'd know.
No. Well, it messes your kinetic chain all up and it can cause roaching in the back. Everybody's seen roached backs. And that can come from too much sloppy sits or just not being proprioceptively aware at a young age. So when we're capturing this proper collection, we are working on proprioception.
We are, definitely. What is proprioception, Sam?
Awareness of the body in space.
No, because I'm a Doctor Who fan, I always like to add in space and time, and then I get people sometimes who are like, how is it in time? And I'm like, well...
You just missed your joke.
Yeah, but well, how they do it now should be different than how they're going to do it last time they did it, and how they're going to do it next time they do it. So in time, you should see an improvement. So that's how I'm going to get around it from here on out. But yeah, you know, you definitely need to have that proprioception, and that is the body's awareness in space. So if you're not driving, if you're driving, don't do this part of it. But if you close your eyes and you hold out your hand to the side, right, you know where your hand is. Your hand is like right there because you know that it's there, right? Proprioception tells you that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just did that, but I'm not driving, so it's okay. And if you have your hand out to the side with your eyes closed and you move your hand to the front so it's facing straight out like a mummy walk would, and then straight up, like, you know where your hand is in space.
Yeah, you can picture your hand above your head. You can picture your hand out to your side. And same as, like, they have you break, like, a drunk test.
Right.
You have to touch your nose with your eyes closed. Boop. You can do it because of proprioception. You are aware of your body's position in space even without seeing it. Right.
Yep. And so we want that awareness of the body. So we'll do things with the puppies like pivots, and we'll do that starting at this 5-week old age.
But that's fun stuff. Luring.
Yeah, yeah. It's
and
all just following.
We're very, very aware when we are doing those pivot, those lured pivots and the lured sits and things. We are aware of our dog's collection. If you're luring into a sloppy sit, you are building a sloppy dog. You're building a structurally deficient dog by molding a sloppy sit in puppyhood.
Totally.
And we don't want that.
So, what did Sam just say? Sam just said we're luring. What is luring? It's where the dog follows the food that you have with their nose, and where the nose goes, the body goes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, if you think teaching the dog a spin, you know, spin clockwise or counterclockwise, that is easily taught through luring. Another way you can train is through capturing behaviors as the dog is doing it, and then using shaping to improve those.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why I'm telling you about this when we're talking about collection is oftentimes if you are luring the dog into that sit, as they're learning sit, you can wait on when you're releasing, when you're marking, and then releasing the food afterwards, how you're delivering the food to your dog. And that is going to hopefully get the dog into that better collection and that better sit that'll help the dog's whole life. Versus if you just want to capture it. And so, look, the dog just sat. Let's click and let's reward that. Or let's mark and let's reward that. But what if it's a sloppy sit? Oh, we'll fix it up later.
Mm.
No, not really, because the dog's
well, if
like,
you
woohoo.
If you wanted to teach the behavior of sit, let's say, because the dog doesn't often do it on its own or it's new, whatever, you want to capture that sit, but you want to shape it to be more collected. You mark when he sits, but then if we follow the Bob Bailey rule, mark for behavior, reward, and position, and we use our treat as a lure and get the dog into a more collected sit before we actually release the reward from our hand, now we've done both. We've captured the behavior of sit and we've shaped it into a collected sit. So now maybe the next time we go, that dog offers a sit, it will be the more collected sit because that's the one he actually got paid out in. That's our hope, right?
Right. And so try it. Try it with your dog. See, you know, how do they do? How do they do with everything else? But as you're training your dog, remember collection.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Remember, the placement is key because you're setting them up. This is the foundation.
Quite literally.
Right?
Quite literally. They only get one body to be in. And we want to make sure that they can be as comfortable and efficient in that body as they can be, especially in the world of service dogs, because we're going to give them a job. They have to actually work day to day.
You mean they don't have to just sit on the couch and eat ice cream?
No.
And bacon?
No, unfortunately not. They got to do 9-to-5s, and you want to feel your best when you go to work.
You do.
That's the way you do your best work.
Yeah.
All right, so that brings us to our next C. I think we wrapped it up on collection there. The next C I'm going to reward for, that we're looking for to reward for, is curiosity.
Because it killed the cat?
No, it may have killed the cat, but it helped grow the puppy.
Sounds genius.
Curiosity. I want a puppy to come in and just engage in the environment, right? Look at things, check things out. And I want to recognize curiosity is kind of an abstract thing, right? It's when you're saying capture a sit, capture a down, capture correct collection. You have something to physically look for. I can tell you his feet under him that way, or his, when he's sitting in this angle, that's proper collection. But when it's something like curiosity, you have to get creative with what, and really think about, is that dog displaying curiosity? So in the full hard temperament test, there's a part where you drop open an umbrella, right? And with a lot of puppies, you get the reaction of this like spooked startle response, but then immediately followed by a lean forward and a head turn. So they're not just deciding, oh, that umbrella scared me, run away, run away, run away. They are curious about what the thing is. And I'm looking for that lean forward head turn, even though it's accompanied by some slight fear or something, that's still curiosity.
Uncertainty.
Yes. Uncertainty, yeah. Yes. Yeah. We reward. Because curiosity is often the absence of certainty, right? That's why you're curious, because you don't know what awaits. You don't know what that thing is. So, and it doesn't always have to be in a startle response, right? Sometimes they may run in and immediately go, huh, oh my gosh, check this thing out. Oh, there's a box over there. I'm going to go stuff my head in it. And they're very curious. And also, that brings us to our third C, confident. So the puppy that runs in and shoves his head in the box full force, even though he's never seen a box before, is displaying confidence, right? Which is our third C. If I see a puppy coming in like a bulldozer, even if he jumps up on the couch or runs over and spills the water bowl, as long as he's doing it with his whole heart, I'm gonna capture and reward. Because I want a puppy that's willing to try. I want a puppy that sees a new obstacle and doesn't...
A challenge. That could be a fourth C. Oh my gosh, this podcast started with three and we just found a fourth C, and I'm writing it down on our
list. We do love alliteration, so I'll take a fourth C.
Challenge.
Yes. A puppy that takes to a challenge. So there's an exercise we like to do here that really draws out curiosity and confidence, sometimes either or, depending on the puppy. But we set up a wobble target on the floor, which is basically a target stick on a wobbly base, kind of like the Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down thing.
If you have a treat and train, aka manners minder, it comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, Gary Wilk sells a really good one. He calls it the Alley Oop.
That's a fun name.
And that one is a self-riding target.
Oh, nice.
Because the ones that come with the manners minder will fall down.
Yeah, if it goes all the way over, it does fall down.
Yeah, Gary's doesn't.
But for the most part, they can stay up pretty good.
Yeah.
And we like to set them up in the middle of the floor, and in our hands, we sit with a clicker and the food. And the puppy comes in, notices the wobble, maybe he looks at it curiously. That's an opportunity to reward. Maybe he goes over and touches it. That's an opportunity to mark and reward. And we've rewarded curiosity and confidence. And let's say he touches it, and that gets him the reward the first time, but then the second time it holds off. What does he do then? The second time he touches it, because maybe he touched it on the base, or he touched it on the...
silver part?
Yeah, the silver extended arm.
Not the red ball.
Not the red ball, not the actual target. Maybe I go, okay, I'm not going to pay out unless he gets closer to touching the target. Does he maybe touch it one more time and then walk off? Disheartened, like, nope, not going to play that game anymore. I thought it worked one way, it doesn't. That's the only way I ever believe it could work. I'm out. Or does he try poking it again, or poking it in a different spot, or getting more excited, like poking it harder, things like that.
Try to bite it.
Yes, that would be the result of curiosity, right? And confidence, because I want, this thing didn't work the way I thought, but I'm going to keep engaging with it.
And that's going to be a challenge too for him, because mm-hmm. he's upping the challenge. He's like, I know it has something to do here. He's not like, oh, I give up. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm just going to go over in the corner and hide.
Yeah, I thought I could get a treat just by touching this thing, but turns out that's not what made the treat happen. So, woe is puppy without a treat.
Yeah. Woe is puppy.
Or maybe he just gets bored. Maybe he's not even woe is puppy. He's just so kinetic that he was like, nope. And now I run off over here and jump on this thing. And now I...
Yeah. So what can we do to set the puppy up for success whenever we take the puppies out for their first or, forever training sessions, right? Is you want to make sure that the training environment, you can think of that as an aquarium. And what distractions are there in your aquarium? You know, is there 20 things for the dog to check out or 100 things or one thing?
Yeah. So for the kinetic puppy, maybe if you really wanted him to focus down that energy and get it more centered on the target, is having the wobble board out and having the ball out on the floor and having the water bowl over there and having toys and everything in your environment going to help you? Probably not. That's probably going to be more of a hindrance. It's going to be a distraction to the kinetic puppy because he might go, oh, this wobble thing was fun for 1 second, but now it doesn't work like I thought it did. So on to the next thing that's fun, which is anything.
Yeah, here's a piece of dust. Here's a kibble left over from the last dog. Well, clean up your training space.
Yes, clean up your training space and think about what you're trying to accomplish and what the dog in front of you needs in that training session.
Totally.
But at the 5 weeks old, it's usually the 3 or now 4 C's that we're looking for.
Right. So challenges. What is an appropriate challenge for your dog? And that's going to depend on the age of your dog, you know, the background, the history and all that, what your dog understands, how the last training session went. As Sam loves to say, I think it's so cute every time she says it, is you will see the results of this training session in your next training session.
Yep, you'll see the evidence of what the dog learned in this training session in your next training session. So what that means is don't sit there and hammer the dog on one thing forever because you think, you know, if he doesn't get it in this training session, that he just doesn't understand. He hasn't gotten it yet. You haven't given him the chance to process. Come back at the next training session and start a little before where you left off on the last one and see if he doesn't show you evidence that he did learn something from that last one.
I call it soak time. Mm-hmm. And I like to have the dog crated, you know, let them think about it, let them nap, because a lot of the times they're puppies, right? And if you are just constantly giving them input, it can be very overwhelming for the puppies. They need that downtime. Puppies sleep, like 20 hours a day whenever they're 8 weeks old.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
They sleep a lot. You can be like, well, that's so much. I'm like, yeah, but they're up for 4 hours a day and they're
taking in everything. Everything's new. Yeah. Could you imagine if you woke up tomorrow and everything was new? How blown would your brain be? How hard would your little neurons be firing to take in so much information?
Yeah. So, yeah. So, challenges, you want to make sure it's right. You can't say, well, my dog did great here in my aquarium room. Well, if you don't have an aquarium room, like, you always have your bathroom or a laundry room or a kitchen or something, right? So, my dog did a perfect target wobble stick thing right there, Sam. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take him to the farmer's market tomorrow, and we can do that in the middle of the farmer's market, okay? Like, that would be a really good next challenge for him, don't you think?
No.
That would be a terrible next challenge. You're setting your dog up for failure.
Instead, that's not to say that he could never go to the farmer's market and do the wobble, but that's just not going to be your next step.
But what if they have really good pie at the farmer's market?
Ooh. Well, then you put your puppy in a stroller and you go to the farmer's market and you get that pie.
Right? You get that pie. But no, you have to say, okay, if he did really good in my aquarium in the house, right? And my goal is to get him to go to the farmer's market. What would be a really good next step? And it might be another room in the house, or maybe with somebody there, or maybe with more distractions going on, or maybe it's on the sun porch. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you've got so many steps to get your dog successful. And if your dog is successful in the training aquarium that you have, your usual training room, in 3 other rooms in your house, and right outside your house, your dog has had how many challenge successes that whenever you eventually do get him to those higher challenge situations, so many successes to the lower challenges make it much more likely that your dog is going to be successful and understand the way it works instead of fearful, nervous, shut down, shy, overwhelmed, etc., etc.
Yes, or just acting out because there's so much stimulus that they you know, how many people's dogs are just uncontrollable at something like a farmer's market. Right. They're so excited. There's so many smells and so many other dogs. And so take everything that would be at a farmer's market and try and work around it independently. So, you know, maybe food on the counter, like vegetables and stuff. Leave some vegetables on the counter and work your dog. Other dogs present. Have some friends come over. Go to a space where there are other dogs, but like they're not going to be everywhere. Maybe like a Lowe's.
Or you can go to a dog park and stay outside of the dog park, far away enough from the dog park that the dogs aren't a threat to you or your dog. And you can use that distraction. You can go to a playground, but use the kids a block away. You know, like you're not in the playground. And go to PetSmart and Petco and work in the parking lot as all the people are coming and going. You don't have to go into Petco and PetSmart.
Yeah, you can use the things that you want to get the exposure to from those areas without like being crazy. You can be near a snake without being dumped in a snake pit, you know?
Right. No, I'm sorry. They're both the same thing.
Oh, geez.
But yeah, exactly. And you need to do those little, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time?
Yeah.
So how are you going to get your dog to where he's going to be rocking it at Disney and at Universal is by baby steps.
Baby steps and great successes. You have to get an A before you move on to the next step. The next baby step.
Baby steps. Totally. So the four C's are collection, curiosity, confidence, and challenge.
Yes, when the dog overcomes whatever challenge you've faced him with. And it can be little, right? Little. Like maybe you set up a little a PVC pole or one of those hurdles or something, or even just a stick, and he has to step over it, right? That's a tiny challenge for a 5-week-old puppy.
And you might even start with it on the ground.
Oh, yeah, I was imagining it on the ground.
Okay. Yeah, you don't even need to have it up high unless you want to teach your dog to limbo. But yeah, definitely. Like, how easy can you make this for your dog?
Or put in something with a different odor. We like to use a nosy nose kit that's just little pouches of anise, basically. It's corn cob husk with anise essential oil dropped in it. We set those around the room, and when the dog starts sniffing, capture, reward.
You know what, Sam? Speaking of that, because it's an appropriate challenge, it rewards the curiosity, it helps build confidence, right? Like, I love the nosy nose, and we will do that so much with the dog starting at 5 weeks old.
We actually start it sooner. Sometimes when we're doing ENS, we'll use the nosy nose as the scent.
At 3 days old is when they start that.
Mm-hmm.
So we do so much scent with the dogs. And so many of our dogs go on to become medical alert service dogs for their owners. And they're alerting really good at, you know, 6 months old. 6 months old. And then people ask me, so the dog's fully trained at 6 months old? I'm like, oh, heck no. Like, we have worked with how many 6-month-old dogs when we were working with dogs outside of our breeding program who were heathens. Mm-hmm. They were monsters at 6 months old. Our dogs are not. When they do our puppy program, they do very good. But at 6 months old, they have a fantastic foundation. They've got a couple really good tasks they've been working on. They're decent out in public. They're good out in public. They're amazing out in public compared to what we saw last week at the mall.
Yeah, oh my God. Yes.
But they're doing so well. And now the owner has a time to bond with the dog, to continue working with the dog, you know, and they're getting the help, some of the help that they need. Maybe by getting those alerts, by having that dog for the oops pickup or that dog to do the deep pressure therapy with them. Mm-hmm. So they can benefit as long as they do understand that the dog is still a puppy.
And you know what I love about these golden retrievers, Vicky? For the three things that you just stated, the oops pickup, the deep pressure therapy, and the scent-based alerts, all we have to do is capture and shape those behaviors. They offer them so readily just because they're such wonderfully bred golden retrievers. Of course they want to pick things up and bring them to you. They're a retriever. Of course they want a DPT. They love snuggles. Of course they're in their nose. The olfactory's the biggest part of their brain. Like,
and it's the first thing that they have. Whenever they're born, they have touch, they have taste, and they have smell.
And we harness it. We harness it all. That's why we say we start the training at 3 days old, because we are very intentionally working these puppies to prepare them for that future service work.
And if you have one of our puppies, or if you get one of our puppies, and you get the puppy, and you're like, oh my gosh, the dog magically knows what to do. He magically alerts to me. And I just don't know why I never worked with them with this, or I didn't work with them very long. It started at 3 days old.
Yeah, the magic you're experiencing is the magic of Hope Service Dogs.
Totally is. Totally is. Every time I see that, I'm like, no!
I poured my heart and soul into this. But it's very rewarding work, and they make it easy. It wasn't easy to develop, but damn if it's not down to a science now, huh?
Well, you know what? We have had 5 litters the last couple years, and that's 5 litters. That's 5 experiments that we can do every year on what makes the best service dog. And if we find something that we're like, you know what? I love this. That's going to go on to the next one. Mm-hmm. If we have something that we're like, you know, we might want to try to do this a little bit different next time.
I don't think we saw as much benefit from the amount of effort than that. You know, the benefit versus cost was not there.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Then we might drop it and move on to something else. Say, like, what were we trying to accomplish with that? And how can we get it better with another technique?
For example, one of the litters that we had, we did a lot of outings starting at 8 weeks and 1 day old. They were out at Universal in strollers, mm-hmm. but still. You know, we had them out and about so much. Every week we had them out, you know, once or twice a week. We had them doing outings. But what we found was whenever they started going on outings on their own 4 feet, mm-hmm. they acted like they had never seen any of this stuff before.
Yeah, they'd been training on Mars, and now you actually put them on Earth, and they're like, huh.
Yeah, what the hell?
This is different.
Yeah.
I never seen this stuff before.
Yeah, and a magic opening door. Oh, my God, it's going to eat me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what we're finding is, you know, sometimes it is a bunch of sits and downs. And even with this litter that we have now, I haven't done as many, like, sit down, like, I want you to know these commands, because it doesn't take long
getting just as many. I've noticed with this litter, though, we are still getting just as many default sits.
Yes.
Without having to specifically train, you sit and you get a snack, you sit and you get a snack, you sit and get a snack. Yeah. They're still coming up to us and sitting down.
Yeah. All the time, yeah. And they're polite. And part of that is your stationing.
The stationing, yes. That's a result of the stationing.
And that just the politeness, the manners. I know Tara's dog, Sky, she tells her down and Sky will like down. You tell her sit and Sky will down too sometimes. But
she's
it's
a baby.
So cute. And they're 4 months old. Uh-huh. And I'm like, this is great. Like, I don't know.
I know 4-month-old puppy. Well, I don't anymore, but I used to in my days in the pet dog industry. You'd know 4-month-old puppies, they didn't even hear it when you spoke to them. Didn't matter what you said.
Right?
It was like you were talking to a brick frickin' wall.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not...
Brick wall with teeth and claws.
Right? And a whole bunch of fur.
Mauling you. I love you.
Right. But yeah, they, you know, and that's something. It's like, okay, well, we'll get the sit on command and the down on command.
And how much easier is it going to be to get a sit on command if you're already getting it offered freely? Yeah. If the dog's already doing it, he's already decided that sit is a behavior worth repeating.
Yeah. And with the service dogs, I don't want to have to micromanage them. Mm-mm. I do not want to have to tell them what to do every second of the day. I want them to have some of that freedom so they can figure it out for themselves.
And that is what we work on so much at that 5-week point, is teaching them how to be free in thought and free in thought and still come to the right conclusions.
Very true.
Mm-hmm. Or be willing and know how to ask for help. If they can't figure it out, how do they communicate that with me?
Because there's going to be times that they don't know the answer, and what is it that they're going to do? Are they going to just give up? Are they going to bite it? Are they going to pee on it? Are they going to just, like, keep working at it and keep working at it and keep trying to figure it out?
Or look to us for guidance and accept what it is we offer. Yeah. And know what it is we're offering, right? We can have some shared communication tools that we develop. We work on those early too with the market. We're working on the marking and getting them to understand the clicker and the yes before we ever bring them into our training aquarium for the first time.
Yeah.
So that the second that they start to need help or they want to explore something and find out if it's a good thing or a bad thing, they hear that click. And they know it's a good thing. They know what they just did was worth repeating.
And they come running over to us to get their reward.
Yep.
Because they're like, woohoo, give it to me. I know what that means.
Mm-hmm. Instead of bringing a dog into a new situation and having no way to communicate good versus bad, what do you do? How? What, you're sitting there mute together. He doesn't know.
Yep.
He doesn't know how to receive any information that you give him.
Which also... could put you at a different advantage. I'm not going to say a disadvantage of you have to be ready to go before the dog is. So if you're like, okay, I don't know what I'm going to work on today, and this dog is throwing behaviors at you, and he's trying to get your attention, and he's like, what if I sit? What if I go over here? What if I touch that target stick that's there? What if I'm going to bring you a toy? What if I'm going to smell out things? And you're just like, gosh, I don't even know what I want to work on today. What should I work on today? And the dog's like, how about any of these 20 things I just showed you?
Yep, go back to your four C's. Go back to your four C's. Yep. Is he being curious? Is he being confident? Did he overcome a challenge? And is he collected?
You betcha.
Boom.
Four C's. Four C's is life.
It definitely is, especially at 5 weeks and beyond. Like, we don't ever drop off the four C's. They stay included in our training program as it goes, but we build onto it, right?
Yes.
But that's where it starts. That's our foundation.
You got it. Yay for the three, now four C's, and you were here.
Yes, you were
for
here.
For that. For the growth and the development of the four C's instead of the three C's.
Yeah.
Sounds like it could be a musical group, the four C's. Or the high C's.
The four seasons.
There you go. That might be why. So this is Victoria with Hope Service Dogs. We are online. We are on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and all of that fun stuff.
Our TikTok channel is fire.
Right? It is. And there's other words that the youths use now.
Oh, yeah. No crumbs. That TikTok leaves no crumbs.
And it slaps.
No doubt.
Or as I would say, it's totally awesome. Okay?
Wicked rad.
Totally. So, what is it? I don't know. I think it's Pot Service Dog. Or Pot Service Dogs. Or Victoria Warfel. But where can you find all of this stuff? We have a link tree. linktr.ee/HopeSD. Hope Service Dogs, right? HopeSD. That's where you find me. Or hopeservicedogs.org. Can you text me? No, I don't have my phone number out there for various reasons because I don't want phone calls all the time. I would rather have it in email so I can deal with it whenever I deal with it.
Yeah, you can sort through.
You betcha. And Sam can be found here half the year.
Yeah, and you can find me under the trainers tab on the hopeservicedogs.org website. That's where you'll find my information.
Yep. And you can stalk her from there.
Sure can.
Yay.
Don't be creepy about it, though.
Yeah. Just a little stalky. Well, like a celery stalk.
Unless you're... Are you Liam Hemsworth? Then come on over.
Oh, girl.
It's been great talking to you guys. Have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.